Well,
hello,
welcome. A few welcomes actually, because it's welcome to anyone who's like tuning in for the first time, tuning into the first episode of Let's Get Down to the Nitty Gritty. And also a big warm welcome to my two special guests today. So maybe let's kick things off with introductions.
All right. Okay, first. All right. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Love being here. My name is Malik. I've been in Bangkok for about 4 years. 4 years, 5 years. I forget. Time has gone by so quickly. I've been here for a few years, and I've been living in Asia for about 8 years now. I'm from the U.S. Most of my time, I spend, you know, what do? My free time. Typical work stuff throughout the day. I do like a production company thing with my friends, Soul Tribe. So we do a lot of photos of people in the city, some videos, and at night I moonlight as a behavior analyst. Mm-hmm. So that's where most actually my time is spent, working with students and families with diverse needs and support in different ways. But yeah, that's about it. My intro.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, when you said, like, okay, let's do intros, I was like, wait, shit.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, we gotta know Jukini's first story.
Is it funny though when people do ask you, like, where are you from? What are you doing? You're like, I haven't thought about that.
I know. Right. Like, what are the right words to say? I quarantine, that's it. What do you do? What do you drink?
Right.
What socks do you wear? What kind of questions do you answer? Yeah. Introduction.
What's your favorite color? Like, I don't know.
No idea anymore. So I'm Tori. I'm from Houston. I've been living in Thailand for 3 years, which is so crazy.
It goes by really.
Like, I literally remember the day I got on the plane, like, so vividly. And I did not plan on being here that long. I work in marketing here. I came over as an English teacher, so I did that for about 4 months. And then I moved over back to marketing. My background is in marketing and PR. And I started a group called Ebony Expats, which initially was just like Black in Bangkok or Black people.
I think it was. It's like, was it Black in Bangkok? What happened to it first?
Yeah, something like that. It was like Black, because I just wanted Black people in Bangkok. I was literally looking for 3 Black friends in Bangkok when I moved over here, because I had never moved over. I had never even really traveled outside of North America. Mm-hmm. So I have went around the States, and I've gone to Canada for work.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I'm like.
So it's a big new adventure that you're like setting off on.
Yes.
What made you come to Thailand in the first place? Like, what was it? Because obviously, like, if you've never really left home, there must have been something inside of you that was like, oh, I have to go further than that.
Right. So like, basically now that I can put words to it, I have a friend who like always says this, like, if a city is not doing one of two things for you, then like leave. And one is like, figure it out. Either if you're not growing or if you're not thriving there. Yeah. And so
like Houston.
Yeah. And I was he hit me with that like about 2 years ago when I was thinking about leaving Bangkok like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you first left? Because you were already like working and stuff a bit before.
Yeah, I had already been incorporated in marketing and all that for a while. So I think I was like, I'm 31 now.
Okay.
So I was like 28. Okay. I hadn't turned 28 yet, so maybe like 27. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I was like already older, had already been working in corporate America. I hated working corporate. Yeah. That's
and at
really
that point,
what
you already know, right?
Yeah.
You're just like, this isn't for me.
Exactly.
What else can I do?
Like, for me, it was a bit different because I left the U.S. when I was like 21.
Oh.
Yeah, because I left right out. Like, I graduated and I left, and I left like in November of that year to go to South Korea. And I left the U.S. because I was like, ugh, I want something different. I felt that going back to Atlanta, I lived in Atlanta, so I felt like it was a great city. I loved it there, but I just felt like it wasn't enough for what I wanted. And I had friends that have traveled abroad. I'm like, man, I think I need this experience. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? All right, let's just book a ticket and see what happens.
Had you planned to travel and then come back?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
I just was like, let me just go and see what happens. My friend told me she was going to go to documentary in South Korea on education.
Cool.
And I was like, I've never thought about teaching English in South Korea. And like a month later, I applied to a place and I went like 3 months after that. And it was like super quick. I had no idea how long I would stay, how long I would be gone. Come like 10 years later, I'm still in Asia.
You're still here.
I know. And it's crazy to have like moved to a place and found a home, or at least like, you know, redefined what home is, I guess, and made that, you know, a reality. So
And I think a big thing also being an expat is you're away from everything you know, you're away from your family, and it's like, it's such a big challenge finding that wherever you go, and just turning that into your home and making it comfortable enough that you don't go straight back. I mean, Bangkok, I've always felt like Bangkok's one of those really transitional places where people either stay for a really long time because it becomes, you know, their primary home, or people freak out and they're just like, can't do this. Because it's like super hectic, there's so much traffic going on, it's like, you never know how people are going to react to it, basically.
No, that's really true. And I agree that it's really funny because, have you guys heard of CoStar, the app that tells you your horoscope?
Oh, yeah.
That, like, very personalized.
Is it like purple? I don't know why. That's like...
It's like purple.
Okay. I don't know. But I don't know. Is it purple, though?
No, it's red.
Okay, so...
It's a purple. That's my question. Is it purple?
It's a purple. Like, I need to know. Like, okay,
it's not purple. I don't know.
Okay. You're like, I don't know. I know that. Purple horoscope. Okay. I just know that's the purple thing. But basically, it's based on your birth chart and daily horoscope. Okay, and it's like kind of in depth. And one day, like, popped up and said, to begin, get out of isolation. And I was like, OMG, like, you are really reading me right now. Like, y'all need to get this out, because it reads you.
Wait, was this like pre-COVID or during COVID?
This was like a week and a half ago.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was just talking to you guys about how, like, I feel like, you know, what I really think happens is, as an expat, when you're here, like, there's no one that speaks your language. There's no one that you can resonate with. Like, no one looks like you when you go outside, when you're riding the train, when you're at work, like, at all. So, you know, it's almost like, even back home, like, in America, for sure, corporate America, like, Black people specifically are sitting in rooms where you're, like, the only Black person. And that already has, like, that whole, what that comes with.
Yeah.
And then, like, here, like, the entire time, like, it doesn't matter where you go. The mall, to eat, anything, like, anything, you are alone. And I've basically been in isolation for 3 years, and I just like kind of clicked that. So I'm like, oh, I've been basically in this whole processing and learning myself and analyzing myself and like just having failures and learning curves, and it's beautiful. And I think that people should do that, even if you isolate yourself with like from your environment, but like where you're living, you just have to do that.
It's like a fast track to growing up.
Because
I feel, when I go back home, the conversations I have with people, it's almost like, unfortunately, their lives haven't changed all that much.
Right.
And then I come back and I'm like, I've done this and this, but it's hard, you know? Like, it's not even bragging. It's just like, yo, you know, I've been through these ups and downs. There's been some good stuff, thankfully, but oh man, like, it's been really fucking hard.
And that was really hard for me, like, going back to see my friends back in the States. Like, after my first years in Korea, it was like, explaining all my adventures to them. Oh, I've done this, I've done this. And it wasn't like me bragging about what it was. I mean, like, this is my life now. This is who I am, you know? I mean, I miss family. I miss all this friend stuff. And I found myself again in my new location. And I think that was like, I'm still like buzzing off of how much enjoyment I've had of my life over the past few years.
And I guess,
is that
like,
bragging? I mean,
like, no, I think people should feel that way. And I think what I think has been lost is that feeling of making sure that you are designing your life in a way that you are happy with it.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know what? On the other side of that, though, I know, like, people that I did have friends with in the beginning of my trips in Korea, like, a lot of my friends did end up going home. You know what I mean? Because they didn't have that kind of, like, sense of family, sense of community. Like, they missed that so much. It was so hard for them to let go of what they had in the U.S. or wherever they were from. They couldn't, like, take that, like, isolation in a way. And they had to revert back to, you know, what they knew and what they felt comfortable with. And that's what some people just... It's tough for some people.
This is not really easy. This is not easy at all.
But I mean, that's what you've created with Ebony Expats, is actually, like, you've given people that opportunity to come abroad and to already fit into a family.
Right.
Because you've created that family. It's like a community of people that, like, you guys get together, you have all these events, and it's like, I think it gives people that reassurance when they first arrive. They're like, that's, you know, I can reach out to that group no matter what.
Right.
And I think that's amazing. It's like...
Yeah, and that's... that is the exactly what I needed. So like when I moved here, I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm walking into. Like I have no idea what I'm walking into.
Had you been to Thailand?
I had never been to Thailand at all. I was like, okay, so we about to do this. And see that, and I look back at my life and like what I was like just telling you guys, like I am like a shoot my shot type of person, yeah. And I'm just gonna figure it out. Mm-hmm. And there's beauty in that, but there's also like a lot of it can get like messy.
Because you're taking chances.
Exactly.
You never know how it's gonna go.
Yeah,
right?
It's so scary. Yeah. Oh my god. I was like, I just need 3 black friends. 3 black friends, yeah. Who get it, who I can resonate with, who, yeah, I can like kick it with or be like, yo, what is going on? Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. And so I looked for that. There were no active groups that I had found.
Yeah.
And so I created a meetup in Houston while I was like still packing and stuff. Yeah. But I think that what I was able to do when I got here and finally had a meetup, like I got here and then a month later we had a meetup and, mm-hmm, I literally had 3 black people that showed up. And like from that we created this group chat, and it was like anytime anyone had a question they would drop it in the group, and even if I didn't know it I would just like Google it because that's just kind of how I've always been. And I'm like, okay, well here's the answer, or I would tag someone so that they could then share it. And I think that that's the culture that has like that keeps it going. Like it's, yeah, like everyone's always chatting in it, and everyone will drop their question and get an answer. And either it's like an individual will hit you up like in private DMs or hit you in the group, and it's just like a resource center. And that's just kind of like we need that resource hub, that support group. And now I really am on this journey of like, okay, I'm very clear that I'm a connector. And at this point, it's like, well, look, if you come to Thailand, hit up every instant, let me know. Let me put you through. And like, yeah, I want to build that out even further, you know, in a way that makes it sustainable for people.
So it started on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Then you turned it into
Meetup.
Oh, Meetup. Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
And then now you've got this like group chat.
Online.
Yeah. Okay. And how many people have you got in that now?
I mean, the maximum you can have in a group is like 500.
Right.
So like, I think it's like a waiting list probably.
No. And yeah, there actually is. And what happens is you have to remove old people who either move or like whatever stuff. Honestly, like the real number of people who like live in Bangkok is like there's thousands of us.
Yeah.
But in the actual group chat, there's 500 in the group chat. There's like engaged, like a few hundred. And then on Facebook, like when we have events, people will like see it on Facebook or Meetup or like Instagram, and like they're all here or they just hear word of mouth, even if they're not like really, because a lot of people, like expats, have moved here and they've been here for several years, mm-hmm, and like they've already found like their groups.
Right.
But then sometimes you still want to like kick it at like a soul food brunch, you know, like come and get your vibe.
And that's so important because I feel like, you know, when I was, back in Atlanta, like I have my friends are diverse. We have like people from different cultures, whatever. It's a whole big group of thing. But when I come to Asia, it's not that I want to be with only black people. You know, I'm not coming here to find black people for my entire life, but it's like, I want to have someone here that can talk to that looks like me.
Mm-hmm,
a barbershop to recommend, you know, if I want to have some food or something that reminds me of home, like who can I go to talk to?
Right.
You know, that's what it's really about. It's not about like saying, I'm going to build a community that I'm going to put myself in and stay there. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need to know that I have family here, you know, if I need something, if there's ever a time where it's like, I don't know, something happens, you know, or anything. And that, I think that's what Ebonexus is. It's not necessarily like we're trying to create an identity away from everyone else.
Yeah.
It's saying, here's a resource, here's what we got for you. If you need something, come to it.
Yeah. Right.
If you don't, do your thing. But I mean, we're here. We're here.
Yeah.
And
it's a support system.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's being an expat, you need to know that if something were to happen, you have someone here to help you.
Right.
Because your family's back home, your friends are back home, you know, a phone call might not fix whatever's going on in your life at this present time. So, like, you need those resources. You need people to lean on sometimes. And it's so important to have that.
Like, so she... I love it.
Yeah, we got it.
I love that. That's why we're in this room. Because
that's what it is.
Like Adam and artsy.
How were you introduced to the group? Did you kind of like research it? Or did you like, how was that?
When I first came, I feel like there was like a group somewhere that was like black in Asia or black in Bangkok or something. And when I first moved to Thailand, I lived in Pattaya. So the black group was Bangkok specific. I mean, not really important. But I tried to join it. Didn't actually, nothing happened. So I go 2 whole years in Pattaya. My life with like no black people. It was like one or two. But I did have one really close friend, and then she lived in Bangkok. So when I came here, we hung out. I met her friends that were up here already. And I'm pretty sure that's how I was introduced to Tori, through like some mutual friends. Mm-hmm. So it was just like maybe at a party, something, mm-hmm. hung out a few times, go to an event, meet the black people, right. do the black thing.
Because it is a thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing. So like, it was mostly just like word of mouth, for real. And then it was like, come through, see what's happening, join the groups. And then that was it. And then it's like a family, that family thing happened. Yeah. I'm pretty sure like, we hung out, me and Tori hung out a few times. Nothing too crazy, but I know one of the first times we really hung out was when she came to Wonder Fruit with mm-hmm. us, right? It was like, hey, Malik, let me go join your room. And I'm like, okay, like, I'll push you in my room. And like, we hadn't really had any like big, deep heart-to-hearts or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was like, she needed a place to go. Yeah, I wanted some friends with me. Mm-hmm. So we just put a house together.
Right.
And then there she was. And it's like, that's the community. You know what I mean? Exactly. That's what it's about. It's like, want something, you find someone who has, you guys work together and build it. And I think like, that was a really defining moment. And then from there, we've like worked together, doing some things, mm-hmm. hung out, got drunk together, partied a bit, worked hard on stuff.
Worked hard.
It's about progressing. It is. And and that's that. So I'm like moderately active in the whole thing, but I guess like activity is, it's all, everyone has their own thing. Yeah. Right. So I'll do things, sometimes I won't, but that's what it's about. Mm-hmm. Finding your place.
Yeah. Because you guys do a lot of events and activities together, right? Like, how does that work? How often do you have meetups?
Well, with quarantine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you done stuff
on Zoom? Have you had
We did. Cool. We actually did do, we did, like, Monday game night, and that was really fun.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. We also started, like, an expat news show that was live on Wednesdays. That was great because people could come in and, like, chat about what was going on. Initially, when I first got here, I was, like, doing stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But I was, like, in the streets.
I remember.
It was popping. Like,
it was. And I think a lot of stuff, honestly, has happened, like, even personally in my life that I realized, kind of gave me, PTSD, but also, like, this feeling of, I think, you know what, as artists and creators, this is something that happens for people. When you define or whatever, announce to the world, or what feels like announcing to the world, that, like, okay, this is my shit, you know? Like, I am making this my thing. It's Ebony Expats now. Like, and I'm building it. Then, God damn it, all the insecurities, all the fears, doubts, all the shit that people inboxing you saying that you should do comes your way. And now you're not just in your flow. Now you're overthinking shit. Like, even right now, I'm like, oh, you know what? I should just do, like, a Sunday dinner. Like, I don't have plans. And, like, maybe people want to do dinner Sunday, and like, we'll just see. Cause there's people here who are like stuck in Bangkok right now. And like, it would be cool to just be like, hey, whoever is down to meet, let's have dinner.
Yeah. She's always on it, ready to start something. You see that? Like, she's always like ready to make moves to support the people out here. I love that so much.
Oh, that's so good.
You're going to get your detractors no matter what. You know what I mean? People are going to be like, no matter what you do, they're gonna either like it or hate it,
but
they're talking about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can't win over everyone. And I think like, being okay with that is the first part.
Right.
You know, just keep on doing what you think is right.
I mean, what you've been doing so far is working.
Yeah.
So, like, don't doubt yourself. It's
that's
like, because your community has gone from, you said, 3 people to now.
Right.
Like,
100,000.
Yeah.
Because, like, think about, like, how much work you put into the first few, like, meetings. So you were doing stuff all the damn time.
Mm-hmm.
That's exhausting now.
Right.
But had you not have done that, like, people wouldn't know as much about it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
All that you put into it paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to see that. It
did
pay off.
Yeah.
And it might suck. And it might have, like, you might look back and say, damn, I wasted so much time, but you didn't waste the time.
Right.
You didn't fucking waste no time.
No, not at all. And in fact, I really was in my flow. Like, I was just like, me just saying, like, oh, I should do Sunday dinner. Like, I won't have any ROI on that. It's not like it's for business. You know, it's just like, I want to do that. So, I think that's what like, is also beautiful is that it really was just me being me.
Yeah.
And, like, wanting to connect. And then when I'm, like, in a room, I, like, what you see is what you get. Like, I don't know how to turn it off.
That's true.
I don't know how to turn that shit off.
I'm good.
I know I am learning how to control, you know, because you have to learn.
Yeah.
But I think that that's also something, because I really want to create a safe space that's really, like, as a person, even with, like, my sister, my mom, my friend, if I'm sitting across from you, like, I want you to feel safe. So, like, mm-hmm. even, like, doing this, like, I'm turning this way sometimes, like, yeah. because I'm literally thinking that. Like, yeah. I want you to understand that, like, I'm here for you to feel safe. And, like, I just want to be me, you know?
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I think that...
I think, honestly, like, the work you do is beautiful. Like, I just love the way also, the way you explain it, that you're connecting people, you know? And that's one of the things that I fell in love with at music festivals. Mm. And it's why I love what I do, is you go and it's just like, it's like this, this like, happy place for a few days where there's, like, there's no limit to what you can do.
Right.
You can meet anyone from around the world. Like, it's just... It's incredible. Mm-hmm. And you do that as a full-time job, and I think that's incredible, you know? So, like, yeah. I'm just going to put it out there.
True.
Like,
that's
you
true.
Do that as a full-time job.
That perspective, though, this
yeah.
is right.
Yeah, yeah, that's and I think true. One of the things that, from hearing you speak, that I find really cool is how diverse of a community it is in terms of, like, what you guys do, like, the mm-hmm. meetups. And I've seen recently, like, you did a collaboration with Color in the Park,
right.
which, for people who don't know, is, like, a really big festival in Thailand. Right. How did that happen? What was the story behind that
right.
collaboration?
Right. So that connection actually started when I first arrived in Thailand. So Color happens around March every year, and I moved to Bangkok like April 27, 2017. Very specific.
Check your passport.
I don't know, like, drop that, but it dropped. And I remember seeing, like, the photos of the past event that had just happened,
yeah.
and I was like, oh, like. Festivals, because I love music. I love festivals. I love connecting. I love to be in a room where, like, we're all just, like, feeling it. You vibing. You done got cute. You feeling yourself. I'm feeling myself. Like, I love that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, let me just reach out to them and let them know, like, hey, I've done festivals in Texas. Like, I had actually just gotten done volunteering at South by Southwest and ACL in Austin, and, like, I was like, okay, let me just drop this note. I wasn't, you know, that's just, like, naturally just some, like, boom. And I love Thailand because everyone kind of does that. Like, it's so mm-hmm. easy. There's no red tape. Like, it's like, if you want to talk to someone, like, hit them up, you know, and that's so cool. So I did that and on Facebook, and then they were like, hey, Corin is, like, the person who started this. Here's his email. And I was like, okay. So then I emailed him, and they basically said, we just had the festival, so, like, stay in contact. So then the next year, I reached back out, and I was like, hey, I would love to volunteer. So let me know, like, what the opportunities are. And then I went and met up with him, and I told him my background, and I was, like, really interested in marketing and PR. And they didn't have an actual PR volunteer thing, but they kind of created
they made it for you.
Yeah.
They made it for
yeah.
you.
Like, so we have a marketing person here, and then we have, like, we work with a PR, and you can work with her. And I was like, okay. And then I met Dee Dee, and that's how I met you,
because
Dee Dee had, like, a Color PR event,
yeah.
and I was there
yeah.
to, like, for volunteering.
I was there for the nitty gritty.
Oh.
Yes. 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 And I think, like, when did you start Nitty Gritty?
I started it in, oh God, what year are we
What's
in?
The date? What's the exact date? She gave her landing date to Bangkok.
Actually, do you know
the nitty-gritty start
was
date?
April 2018.
Ooh, oh,
so
okay,
a year
okay.
after you arrived, and I met you, like, a few months after.
Yeah, I remember that, because I remember you telling your story of, like,
yeah.
you had just created it, and
yeah.
you were like, I could tell you were, like,
quit my
on
job,
it.
And
yep.
I remember you looked at me, and you were like, oh, this is crazy, but I'm really into this.
I was like, that's good. I was like, that's what's up. I was like, man. Because I honestly, like, I have been in a job that, like, I don't really care to, like, work. I've never wanted to work for anyone.
Yeah.
Like, and I was working the market. So here
yeah.
I have a marketing job full time. And then on side, like, I do Ebony Express
yeah.
and other stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, oh, dope.
Yeah.
And then from there, I did the volunteer thing, which really was not, I mean, Corin. I feel like, they just knew, like, it's like a connection thing. It's like,
right.
you know, let's yeah. see what this builds yeah. into. And that's what I really love about Corinne. So I did that, and then people came to the festival, so I was, like, hanging out, like, kind of doing the PR stuff, and then I was in the back working with Dee Dee. And then the following year, I was like, hey, I think I sent an email that said, like, how can Ebony X-Pac sell tickets? And,
okay.
Yeah, and so then it was like, now it's like, from like just reaching out to volunteering to now, like, let's make a partnership,
yeah.
you know, because you know,
like, a proper collaboration,
yeah,
like, yeah,
yeah. And so then, we had a meeting and it just kind of went from there. It was what really is amazing is it's again like creating it, like, there's no specifics, it's like, let's just see what we can kind of get from this, and here's what we can offer, what can you guys do, okay, so you know, making that happen, and really just kind of being creative. That's what I really like. Like, I want to be in stuff where I can just be me and be creative. Yeah. Like, we even created Instagram filters. The Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, that was
the
so cool.
The color of an expat Instagram filter.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't
yeah,
see
yeah, it was
that.
Like little 3D things.
Yeah.
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 Moving, you know what I mean? Like, it's there.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, then cool. that one was like kind of funky. But then there was like another one was just like, it was just like kind of like plain. I was like, let's yeah. just see what we can do, you know? And I think that also helped me realize that, like, that's who I am. Like, I'm a creator, a producer. I want to be able to, like, be innovative and, like, just creative with mm-hmm. stuff that we do that is still connecting people, but it doesn't have to be like, it just needs to feel real, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, creators creating real shit for people who are, like, really out here trying to experience stuff.
Yeah.
So it was cool to do that. Yeah.
Create real shit.
Are you going to be doing more collaborations with other festivals? Like, is this something you want to expand on?
Definitely collaborations and eventually, like, our own festival. I mean, at this point, it's
just, like, speak it into
yeah,
being.
Like, it is, you know, it is what it is. Like, at this point, it's about legacy now, right? So, like, Thailand, I will always have Thailand on lock. Like, I just can't imagine not. So even, like, when I'm telling people, like, I'm going to be gone for 6 months, like, I'll be back. And unless, like, America just...
I know. When you told me you're going to leave, I was like, no, I'm just getting to know you again.
I know. But I'm like, unless America pull out some real crazy shit, like,
I mean,
I'm going to be
it's
here.
2020 now. You know, it should get crazy.
Yeah. It does get crazy. So. It does get crazy. But it's like... Like, I'm here now, you know,
yeah.
like, this is a part of me, like, this is me, and when I'm here, I honestly feel safe, and I feel happy, and, like, I'm so connected, like, I feel like you, like, I'll be connected to Asia for years, like, years, you know, so, it's beautiful, I love that.
Oh, I love that. I want to bring it back around to Color in the Park and community, like, one of the things I really love about Color in the Park, and there's some other honorable mentions of festivals in Asia, like Jai Tep, which we
yeah.
went to, and Quest, which used to be in Vietnam. It's just like these festivals that I really feel like are making such a big effort to be really inclusive of people and reach out to, like, smaller groups of communities. And I've always felt that, like, festivals in Asia are still quite new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most festivals have only been around for 5-6 years, if that. It's not like in Europe or the US, but I mean, some of them are like 30 plus years old, right? And I started the Nitty Gritty because way back when I was working for this, like, ticketing platform, I'd go to events and I used to be the only expat at the festival. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start the Nitty Gritty. I'm going to start a platform where people can get all this information and get more people to come to this festival so that, you know, I can meet people. Because
yeah.
as you were saying, as an expat, like, you always kind of feel like you're outside.
Mm-hmm.
Even if people don't make you feel that way,
yeah.
you know, you kind of want to see people
yeah.
from where you're from as well,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did it for that. And I do feel like there's been more of a push towards trying to get more diversity in music festivals in Asia. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know what? To be absolutely honest, like, I didn't go to many festivals in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, like, start going to things that, like, came out to Asia. On Korea, like, oh my gosh, UMF, was that a festival?
Oh my god, yeah,
yeah.
Ultra.
Oh my god, Ultra, yeah, I forgot about that.
I'm dying to go. I was like, I was going to go this year.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, COVID.
And a couple other festivals out there. And I started going a lot more when I came to Thailand.
Yeah.
But when I was here, like, I feel like you get a lot of local Thai people that are here in some of the festivals. And a lot of expats that are here, you
yeah.
know, I mean, European expats for the most part, or American expats, white American expats, to be more specific. And that's kind of the majority of the populations that I saw when I got here. Which I mean, if Thailand was mostly, you know, local people coming before some festivals,
yeah.
And now open to more expats, that definitely is a move in diversity. Is it a complete move to where it should be now? I don't think so. I mean, I think there's a lot more could be done. But like, there are a lot of strides being taken by many companies that are kind of pushing diversity to be a bit more of a more common thing happening. Because like you said, you want to go to a place where you see people that are like you, that not only look like you, but like kind of think like you, like the music you like, that kind of make you feel like you're at home. Because like, we all go to festivals to feel like we're at home, you know? I don't think I've ever gone to a festival wanting to feel like, you know, I'm alone or isolated. I go there to like have fun. The music, I want to feel like I'm letting loose and discovering myself. Like, festivals are inherently a social, like,
yeah.
tool.
It's to inclusive. Build us. Yeah. You want to feel part of, like, right. It's almost like, yeah, it's just being part of a community. Like, each mm-hmm. festival I see is a community,
yes.
right? And you
yes.
want to be part of that. And, like, I feel like some festivals do a better job mm-hmm. of making it feel like a whole family, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so. I mean, I've in the last festivals I went to, I definitely felt that I felt a bit isolated, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, we had our small groups of communities that were there, like my friends that we, you know, we have our little team that we're with. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I haven't really always felt connected to the bigger idea of the festival like I wanted to. And I think, I don't know about you. How do you feel when you go? Do you feel like it's like you're one of the masses, or do you feel connected, or what's your experience like?
Oh, that's a good question. No, actually, I don't feel that connected. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Like, even at Wonderfruit, like,
yeah.
I feel like I felt connected when I would be in the group,
yeah.
but outside of that, no, not really.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean, typically, like, most people can just go up and meet people, and you're like, mm-hmm. you know, I still feel a bit nervous about doing that sometimes, like, oh,
yeah.
this random black guy going up. I mean, maybe that's not the case for most people, but I feel that, because I typically
mm-hmm.
don't see that many people like me at a festival, especially
mm-hmm.
here in Thailand, you know, and
yeah.
I think, like, representation matters in a place like this. If I'm gonna go to a festival, I wanna feel like I belong there.
Yeah.
And that means that there have to be people attending that look like me. There should be people on the stage that look like me. There should be people like behind the scenes of the festival that look like me. So they can cater the event to what I want. I mean,
mm-hmm.
not me specifically,
yeah.
but anyone that's anything, really.
Yeah.
There should be a whole, like, a diversity and inclusive movement for the
right.
people
yeah.
that go. So we don't have to feel like we don't belong.
Yeah.
Even
mm-hmm.
if not belonging is just not intentional, but sort of a byproduct of not caring.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
You
yeah.
know, people aren't intentionally saying, we're going to make this only for these group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the times, they're not creating it to include everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone.
It's marketed a certain way to
yeah.
a certain group of people.
It
mm-hmm.
is.
I mean, it's like Coachella. Like Beyonce said, I'm the first black person to headline
right.
Coachella. And how many years she's like, ain't that about
yeah.
a bitch? And it
right.
is. Like,
yeah.
why? Have you not had
yeah.
anyone else? Like, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
You've never had a black person hit on.
And then, like, with diversity, and we talked about this before, but, like, what it actually means
right.
in a festival,
right?
Right.
right.
Like, I know, I don't know what festival it was, like, in the U.S., but, like, in terms of, I mean, most of them, like, in Coachella, like, you have artists who,
mm-hmm.
the artists are, like, what, black. You have a lot of black artists, headlines stuff nowadays, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does the audience look like?
Right.
You know?
That's
yeah.
true,
who, who are the consumers of the
yeah.
of the music? And then on top of that, who's like creating the festivals? Who are the ones that are the managers putting things together?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the photographers? Like, who's like, when you go to a festival, like, you have an image of what it is based off of what you saw being released in the publications
right.
the previous year, right?
Yep.
So are all the photographers, you know, white people that are just shooting stuff and then
mm-hmm.
showing a white image of what
mm-hmm.
a festival is? Or are you having a diverse group of photographers that are there showing, look, there's so much more, you
exactly.
know? Like, this is what a festival is from this perspective,
mm-hmm.
you know? You're going to shoot those people that look like you or that
yeah.
feel like you, whether they be women or minorities, you know,
yeah.
or, you know, LGBTQ, everything
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because diversity actually goes, like, a lot further than just, like, where you're from,
yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
you have to look at the makeup of the festival in terms of, like, all angles of it, as you said. It's like the people who are making it, the artists, but you need, like, I mean, I know, again, Color have done a phenomenal job this year. They made it a point to have like 50% male artists
right.
and 50% female artists. And, you know, when you first hear it, you're like, oh yeah, that's obvious, but actually it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what festival do you know that actually does that and
yeah.
makes a stand and actually says, like, this is what we're doing now,
right?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is like, these conversations are happening more and more and need to happen, because the whole point of a festival, as you were saying before, is you need to feel included. And people need to start thinking, okay, so like, what do we need to do to make sure that people do feel included mm-hmm. and feel part of our festival? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's true. And I really like what you said about even photographers being able to capture certain things, because that's what I feel like Soul Tribe is just like amazing
at. That's exactly what it is, because like, what do you, anything that you see that you feel interested in going to, you know, a movie, anything, you know, a festival, like a park or something, if you see people like you there, you're going to be more likely, to want to go.
Right.
And I feel like that is what needs to happen. You know, that's what needs to happen. You need to have boards on the festival that are diverse in their gender, in their beliefs, in everything, because they're going to be able to have a unique perspective on what people might want.
Right.
I mean, the question could be like, what is a good balance of diversity on for a festival? Like, I don't know. Like, you could say, because there's no way to say like it should be based on population. Like, you know, like in the U.S., it's like what, I don't know, 78% white people.
Yeah.
That's not saying a festival should be that way, because I mean, like, there's so many intersections between people and identities and what they want. The festival should be as diverse as you can make it, you know, appealing to the people that are going to go, not just off of culture and race, but off of like people's, you know, for example, so I'm going on a whole like thing right now, but like, thank you. Like veganism, right?
Yeah.
I mean, where am I going with this? What I was trying to say was like, people bringing vegan menus to restaurants because people want it, you know, and maybe I'm not a vegan right now, but having that there might make me learn more about it and want to do more of it. It's going to open my mind to that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what festivals should be doing. It should be bringing in ideas that are different to what people have in their toolbox right now, so they can be exposed to more.
That's
and
very
like,
true.
That's their obligation.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, with as much power as these festivals have, they are responsible for creating a better place.
Yeah.
And that starts with creating a diverse place of ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because that's so large scale. It's like you're talking about thousands of people,
yeah.
you know, like, and the bigger ones like Coachella or Burning Man. I mean, that's like, that goes into the tens of thousands. So I agree. It's a responsibility.
It
and it, you know, with all of this, it starts with education and sparking ideas. And it's one of the reasons why I love music festivals is you go to learn something new and you go to explore further than the reality that you know from your day to day. And I think it's important to create that environment to kind of like, yeah, to welcome as many people from all backgrounds, you know, different places around the world, and like male and female, it's got to be everything,
yeah,
you know, socioeconomic, like
economic status,
yeah,
the whole thing. Because adding on to that, like if you're creating a place where it's like, festivals are expensive for one. I mean,
going
into the last few we've been to the past 2 years, I've spent more money than I probably should have. And not
you don't
just,
want to talk
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, no. But not just on the tickets, you know, but on like just the feel. Wanting to have a nice place, want to have some cool outfits.
Yeah.
Like, I go with expecting a certain amount of money to be spent. I'm okay with that. But people aren't always that able to do that, you know? But some people aren't able to spend that much money, but they will benefit from what the festival can give.
That's
and
really
I think true. There should be a way that festivals are, you know,
making it more accessible to certain people. Like, you know, I think it's a mistake to brand your festival a certain way and say, like, you know, it's only affordable to a certain category of people.
Right.
It shouldn't be like that.
And that's what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are ways that can be fixed. There are people that can do that.
There's a problem, I have to figure out a solution, right?
And I think like there are ways to go about doing that. I just think that it requires like teams to come together and be creative about it. I mean, like, you're not gonna have a solution by yourself. You know?
Right,
and that's the value in diversity. Like not only like in having people, like the point of diversity, I think, is to have diverse thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially that's what it really matters, because like, yeah, the color of your skin, all that stuff is important. It's 100% important, but it's important because it changes the way you think.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think at the end of the day, we want people different mindsets than we have, so we can form better solutions to things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what diversity truly means. Like getting to a place where like you are who you are because of the way you look and the way you're born, all this stuff, and I value that in you, and I want to know about that. I want that to be part of our team.
Right.
And I think like that's what festivals should be looking at doing for the membership and for their attendees.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. But don't.
Yes. Putting it out there.
And hit up Soul yeah. Tribe when I mean, we start creating.
Yeah. And that's what we, Soul Tribe, we're trying to do, right? We're trying to like showcase artists that do have a voice that needs to be heard, you know, a voice that needs to be put out there. That might be different from a mainstream voice, you know, whether it be like whatever art they're doing, music or fine art, something that's different, something that needs to be expressed. And I think giving a voice to minorities or diverse peoples is important.
Right. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, what's really coming to light, particularly this year, is that we've been marketing things a certain way for far too long, and it's been, you know, now our generation is asking for something different. It's actually like the demand is shifting, and like that whole market has to change as well, because we no longer want to think that way. We don't want to be told to think that way. So I feel like now it's about music festivals adjusting it to also be meeting what we're asking, you know? It's not even just like random thoughts. It's just like, I feel like it's a whole generational move at the moment that's very like focused on making shit change. Yeah. And
it's like an intentional unlearning
of right.
what's
yeah.
happening. And like, we're like actively trying to, you know, be present in our future. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but what I mean is like actively construct it to where we want it to be, you know?
Yeah.
We're doing things to make that happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, I guess we all are, trying our own ways and different things, you know?
And I think what's beautiful is, like, I definitely feel like more and more people are sort of, like, pushing for that, you know? It's become a bigger movement than, let's say if we were all working full-time, we hadn't had quarantine and all the rest of it, I don't think it would have been moving as fast as it is now.
True.
For sure.
Because now we actually have all this space and time to actually do the research, have the conversations, actually look into what's going on in the world. Normally we're so distracted by all these things going on around us.
Yeah.
It would just be like a blip on our screen and just be like, it's gone.
Yeah. That's true.
That is true. That sense of restlessness involved there too, like not being able to do anything and like wanting to do something.
Yeah.
But wanting the thing you do to be meaningful,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's like not just doing any random thing, but like actively making a change that's valuable. And that's oh, so beautiful.
It's so beautiful.
Man. Yeah. That's cute.
Sorry,
I'm just like, like the changes are. I'm like, yeah, we're doing big
changes. The
changes
are beautiful. Yeah, yeah, for real.
You know, and it's like, I mean, even the slow ones, I mean, that happened before Corona, like with you and Color starting that collaboration, you know what I mean? Like, that I think is so important. I mean, yeah, it's definitely a marketing tool.
Right.
To kind of get both of those names out there. But
right.
I mean, like, one really important thing about that is, like, the community of Color is big. And if they want to reach out to people, if they want to grow bigger, they have to tap into those communities out there. You know what I mean? Like, the Black community, Ebony Expats, is huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. You know what I mean? Like, reaching out to those diverse groups. Like, you have a whole, like, swath of people that probably haven't gone to festivals that because they didn't feel they belong there. So if you're building this bridge between like, oh, here's a festival, here's this Black group that, you know, that will love to be part of it. Let us help create something better.
Right.
You know? Because I don't know about you, but when we first started going to festivals, we would invite people on the group, and it was like, oh, what's Color? Oh, that's for white people. You know what I mean? That's like, you know, and that's what it is, because like that's kind of what you see. You know, you don't see the images of that much diversity there, and it's like, unfortunately, that's true.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. So, like, I'm glad Corn is on the ball and, like, look, changing stuff up. You know what I mean? Like, there's a community out there that would love to be involved, that will bring you so much, you know? And it's not just saying, here, take our money, but it's like, we're getting community, we're building a relationship, and that's what's
so valuable. And what can we create
valuable.
Together?
Yes.
What type of spaces can we create
It's
together?
Sharing. It's sharing that space. It's not just, like, take. It's, like, really, like, this is what we can bring, and this is what, you know, we can give back to you. And
exactly.
That's wonderful.
I mean, so far, Corn has done a good job. You know, like, this year he had Black Coffee.
Yeah.
And then last year he had Masego.
Every time I hear the songs now, it's like I go back to the Color.
Ooh,
not to like anything else from before when I heard it. It's like I always go back to like that night. I'm like, oh my God.
That was so beautiful. The way that we created that song together. Oh my God, that was so amazing. And one thing I will say about experiencing music here. He's a great performer.
Oh, yeah.
He was so into it. But I think that one thing that I really appreciate about music and concerts here is that it's really intimate with the artist compared to back home, because they're so big back home, yeah. And security is ridiculous and stuff like that. But here it's like with him, we were kind of vibing on, it was just,
yeah, that was good. About, I was thinking about who did we go see?
The Internet.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I was like, see it. Okay, so the Internet. Listen, okay, so there's this. So everyone, there's a band called The Internet, right? The lead singer is Sid, which is so cute. She is like, she's amazing. Like her art, her voice, the whole group, like they just, man. And like, again, like I hit them up on Instagram. Like, hey, I was like, listen.
Just that vibe we're talking about before. It's like, put it out, let it get there.
See what's going to happen.
Open my heart. Hello. Let me just do it.
You got to shoot your shot. Let me tell you, I hit up Sid like, hey, we're out here. We got a community. We're going to be out there at your concert. OMG. Yeah. Then during the concert, we were like front and center and vibing.
Like 40 black people. Deep.
Vibing.
It was so chill.
And we were just like, what? You know?
I mean, up until the end, too. It was like, we were the last ones to leave.
I know. Literally. And we started dancing. People were like dancing with us. But during the concert, like, basically, we was like, okay, you know, like, the whole thing. And they started like laughing and vibing with us. And then she was like, aren't you the one who messaged me on Instagram? Yep, I am.
Intimate things here. That's how you get that close connection.
Exactly. It was really beautiful.
Yeah, and that kind of energy we bring to festivals.
We actually really do. I have a slide in my pitch deck that says we create vibes, because afterwards I asked her to like have a chat.
Yeah.
She's like, we can't have a chat, but I can give you this quote. And like on her quote is like, it's really great to be able to have like black people in the crowd, because amazing. You get to feel it. And I was like, I'm using that shit. And now moving forward to bring it back to color, what I can see that becoming is, because you know, like, one thing I've learned is like, it's all about connecting the dots and like building. So it's like, you know, the first thing was a Facebook message, but like, Corin, you already know, like, I'm trying to bring the artist, you know, like he has something set up to where I don't have to do all the red tape. Like there are other people here who have done that. Like even like the Thai hip hop community, I'm starting to work into that, like that whole arena. Cause it's like, y'all got it. Like you work with the police, you do the certain things. It's like, how can I start building off of that and create, like you said, sharing these spaces together? So eventually it'll be like, how can we bring artists? You know, like when I go back to Houston, who am I going to be connecting with? And like now I have like Sid, we have Spike Lee created a whole movie here. We have Dave Chappelle that came. We vibe with Dave Chappelle. Like I'm like, listen, we bringing people over here, you know, and Corin, like, who you trying to have at color? Like, what are you trying to do?
And this is the importance of diversity, though,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Like, getting it all together. Like, realizing the value you have in people, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, like, those connections.
Yo. It's realizing you can do so much more by including so many more people in your plans and in your music festival.
Yes.
Yep. Like, why limit yourself?
Exactly.
Right.
You know, like...
Right.
I know.
But people do. That's the problem.
People
they do. They do.
Yeah.
So it's like, we got to show them that there's no need to. I mean, actually, it's hurting.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I agree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like, looking into the future, how could we change that? Like, what would need to happen to make music festivals more diverse, more inclusive? What could happen?
I think, like, it's really dependent. It breaks down to different people could do different things, right? You have, like, the organizers, and you have the community organizers. And then that's pretty much it, really. And the artists, too. So I'm guessing, like, honestly, let me just put it this way. I don't know nothing about organizing a festival. Okay? I'm just speaking, like, from this bullshit, like, what I think could be done.
Right.
I don't really know about this that well. But, like, I guess it comes down to, what are the problems? Why do these core companies not bring more people in? Like, why are they not doing this? So change that. I mean, the reason that they don't bring people in or don't have diverse groups of people, probably because they think the money isn't there, right? They feel like, if I'm gonna, I need to market towards what's gonna sell, that middle-aged white guy that is gonna be the one to buy the tickets. That's who my target audience is, these people say. And the truth of the matter is, that's not the case anymore. You've got people that are around the world that are looking for different people, that are a part of organizations that can bring more people in. So the money issue, that's not a real thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I also think these companies probably don't really know what they should be doing. They don't really have like the idea. I say that without really being sure. I'm sure people are doing stuff, right? But I mean, like, reach out. Make sure that if you're going to organize something, like, think about what your mission is and, like, bring people on that have the same mission but come from different viewpoints, you know? There are people all around the world that make a job building, like, festivals, building diversity and things. Reach out to them. Exactly. Know, like, that's what you want to do and go to them. I mean, that's what the organizers can do. And make sure, like, if you when you book your musicians, make sure they're diverse.
Right.
Get that 50-50 split between men and women, for sure. But also, like, get a diverse group of women. Get, you know, trans women, trans men, everyone in between, non-binaries, everything. Get the whole perspective going on. What else? Hire photographers that are different, you know? Hire people that are not like you, that can have a different perspective of what they want to shoot.
Right.
I mean, when it comes to the people on the community organizing side, get that community together, man. Let them know. Like, when I went to Color, if I wanted to invite people, I know that Color or whatever, whatever the case may have been, I know maybe it's not as diverse as people want it to be, and I'm not going to sit there and say it is the most diverse place. I'm not going to lie to them, but I'm going to say, hey, look, like, your presence will make it better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard now, but you being there, we got to do this.
It's making the change.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? Because the truth of the matter is, we want to make it a diverse place, but some people, that's not enough for that person that's too afraid to make friends, is too scared to do that.
That's true.
We have to go out there and reach them. We got to go and grab their hand and say, look, this is what we got to do.
It's gonna
come
be fun.
On. Right. I got you. We're going to make it together. And that's what you have to do. You have to, like, reach for those people because they need it. You know what I mean? They need it. Like, I think that's the organizers and the community organizers have to get out there and make it happen. Because, I mean, festivals, people need these things, man. They need them. I think that's two sides. I don't know. What else do you guys think should be done? I feel like I covered a lot, but I'm no expert. I'm just offering.
No, I agree with that. It's about creating community and its audiences.
Yeah.
And the way you do that is by making sure that you're serving people truly by what they need, not what you think they need, and actually listening to who they are and understanding them. Like, for me, like, and I know how many times people have asked about haircuts, like, because I can count it, you know? Like, I'm very clear. I'm like, okay, so y'all want to know about haircuts, y'all want to know about braids, y'all want to know about rooftop bars, like, you know, and those are things that I think that I can sit down with someone, like an entertainment company, and tell them exactly what's going on now because I'm tapped in and I know a community. So it's true. It's like, we really have got to make sure that businesses and mainstream or whoever, like the ones that are putting out the experiences, are connecting with the actual people and the actual community. And I think the other part about it is, like, when you know that you're talking to different people, how are you creating messaging that reaches people differently? Because everybody is different. Like, you cannot talk to people the same way. Yeah. Like, we just don't communicate the same way and connect. Like, connect with people where they are.
Yeah. And even as you said before, it's like, it's the photos, it's the videos, it's what you're seeing on the Facebook pages, on the Instagram feeds. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to see it to imagine yourself there.
Exactly.
And if you don't see that, you're just like... You just internally, without them saying, like, it's not even saying, like, you're not welcome, but internally, that's how you read it.
That's not for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's for me. Because I even, saying that right now, I know there are places and festivals I have not gone to for that very reason. Like, that's... It's really good. Like, you should go. You'll like it. But, you know, I'm looking at these pictures, though. I feel like that's not...
Or the lineup, you know?
Yeah.
Listening to the song, you're like, that's just not
it's
my
not
vibe.
What I'm into. I mean, like,
to be absolutely honest, lineup is second to me. For me, it's like the picture of the people. Right. Because I feel like I want to see people I can vibe with when I'm there.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, I hate saying this, but whenever I'm at a festival... I love the music. I do. Do I always remember?
Don't drop any festival names.
No. I'm all good. I love the music, but like, I'm just so caught up in the moment with my friends.
Yeah.
And like, that's it. You know what
that's
I mean?
Definitely that's definitely you. That is
and
definitely
I,
you.
And I feel like, God, I love it. But if I see a festival, like, ad or whatever, I'm like, they don't look that fun. They don't look that fun. They don't look like my people.
Yeah, or like the experience. Like, what am I going to be able to take from that? What is it? value energy
and
exchange.
And that doesn't mean like a group of black people. Because my, my friends are diverse as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I got black friends. no, but I want to see that, like, I want to see diversity in a picture.
Yeah.
That makes me happy. Yeah. And I feel like a photographer can do that. Yeah. Should do that.
No, should do that. Yeah. But it's also like, it's the instructions that they're given.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's what they're told to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think it's also what we were saying before, it's a matter of not even thinking about it. You know? But it's like festival organizers haven't ever thought about that perspective. Mm-hmm. But it's time, you know? Yeah. This is what we want now as a generation, and things are changing, you know? And it's like, it's even having this conversation.
Right.
You know, it's
right,
putting that information out there and being like, this is our opinion, this is what we think, mm-hmm. as people who go to a lot of music festivals, and this is how we feel things could kind of shift and move a little bit. You know, and it's taking baby steps. Like,
yeah.
we're going to see a whole lot of change in the years to come.
For real.
And people are out there doing this. You know what I mean? People
We are. Like, we're the pioneers of this.
Well,
right now.
We're a part of it. Yeah. Because you have, like, there's a bunch of, like, Instagram people out there that are doing stuff. I feel like I had a list of them somewhere. I know there's, like, listen_listen_listen_ maybe. But they're, most of the groups are, like, advocating for, you know, split groups. Male and female performers that are on their stage, and everyone in between, you know, everyone outside or non. They're just trying to get that diversity, and I feel like there has to be an active like drive to get there by people.
Yeah.
And that's all it really is, a want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think like not accepting anything else as an alternative, not accepting that diversity.
Absolutely. Like, it's not buying the festival tickets.
Yeah, that's it.
It's saying like, no, I'm not okay with this, and I don't want to go to your festival, and this is why.
Right.
You know, I do think it comes from the festival goers. It comes from the consumer. Like, there are so many more of us than there are festival organizers. Right.
Like,
like exactly. Yes, we can definitely outnumber the team.
For sure. And
so I think
making
it's,
their own, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's so much opportunity to just create, you know?
Absolutely.
And then they'll wake up.
Experiences. Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I feel like people are doing some good stuff here. That shouldn't go unnoticed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, do you feel that, I mean, we've spoken about color. Are there any other festivals or organizations that you feel are making waves towards diversity in Asia?
For me, what I've been seeing is, like I was saying, the hip-hop community. So the Thai hip-hop community, I feel like... for a while they haven't been, because I don't think that I, like, first of all, like, even realizing that, like, there's black people that live here and want to experience the hip-hop community with the Thai locals, or like I don't think that it's even a thing that has been like, hey, we're here, like, black, you know what I mean, like, there's no like there. And so they've had hip-hop music here, and like, you know, you go to places like Sugar and things like that, and it's here, but it's not really like the full vibe, because there's no actual real connections, I feel like, behind it now.
It's gonna go so deep, though. It's gonna go so deep. I mean, it's like, it's the importance of hip hop in like cultures like this.
Yeah.
Just like how.
How do you do it in a?
Because hip hop is like the voice of the underdog, the voice of the person that, you know, it's like rhythm and blues, you know, it's like coming from like this place of hardship, speaking out against everything else. It's a rebel, you know, that's what I think a lot of Thai hip hop artists probably aspire to be.
Exactly.
Or want that, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like this need to experience that or represent that. And I think there's often a disconnect that happens with, I haven't really experienced much of the Thai hip hop culture here. So I feel like there's a disconnect between like just the community, the black community, the black community here, where it's not as cohesive, where there should be.
I think that that's going to eventually change. Def Jam actually just created a Southeast Asia whole division or whatever. So, you know, that is really cool, because now I'm like, Def Jam, what's up? You know? And I think that was like late last year or something, but not only in Thailand, but other countries as well, in Southeast Asia. And that's really cool. But I think that it's just, now that these conversations are being had, you can definitely see artists. Like, for example, the K-pop group, like, and how much they raised for Black Lives Matter. Yes, BTS. Like, you can see, like, the actual support and love. Yeah. You know? And I think it really is just about, it's so funny because I was talking to like a friend about how sometimes we get in these places like where we don't even realize that the other person, like how to help someone.
Yeah.
And so since you don't know, like you just kind of don't say. Do it. Yeah. And you just don't say. And then like there's never a conversation. Yeah. And then like the other friend doesn't tell you like, hey, like even if you were to say like, okay, I want to help. What can I do? I just don't know how to help. They wouldn't even have, they wouldn't even probably know how to, what to tell you to do because we just don't, like, we just don't know. Yeah. And so I think that now it's like, okay, what does that need to look like?
Yeah.
How can we start working together? You know?
I think you're right. I think it's like, I mean, that's definitely how I felt at the start, is like not knowing how to express what you need to say and being worried of upsetting someone, you know, and just thinking like, what if I say the wrong thing? You know, then I'm gonna like make a fool of myself. I'll be rejected by either the people I'm trying to like reach out to or, you know, other friends. And it's kind of, I think in all of this, even with music festivals, trying to create more diversity, it's just taking that chance.
Yes.
It's like, it's just taking the chance and thinking, you know, we're not expecting to make all the changes tomorrow. It's gonna happen slowly.
Right.
But everyone needs to do it.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to take baby steps.
Like, do what you can do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Do what
exactly.
You can do. And
if it means just like a Google search of like what's been going on, then do that.
Right.
That's enough. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Start small, grow big. That's like how you get it.
That's a
little
nugget.
Start small, grow big.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
I like
just
it.
Just do
like
it that
it.
Way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, there's no reason to not do anything. You should do something. I mean, you don't have to do everything. Just do what you can do.
Right.
But with that, the obligation is to do something. You know what I mean? Do the least you can do, at least, you know? And you can do more. You can do more because you learn to do more.
Yeah. But. And often, you're, like, really surprised by the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think in all of this, what's been so wonderful is the unbelievable amount of support that it's getting from, like, millions of people around the world. Whereas, like, as I was saying before, if we'd all been working full-time, not had COVID, not had all this stuff, it probably, like, wouldn't have reached as many people. And now it's, like, it's just amazing to be part of such a massive movement and to be having these discussions, you know?
Yeah, I agree. It is. It's beautiful.
That's true. Like, there's a space for, I think, like, the whole COVID, everything happening in the U.S. and all these needs for change, it's created a space for people to, I guess, now feel comfortable to talk about a lot of stuff. And, you know, they could argue that, yeah, you should have talked about this stuff all the time. This should have always been the case, you know, whatever. But I feel like not everyone had the courage or the ability to do so. And you can't fault someone for not, you can't always fault someone for not having the courage to speak up and do something because they are doing it now, if they're doing it now. You know, respect that fight that they're making now because you want to keep allies on your side that are going to be pushing for what you want. So, thank you, Charlotte, for doing what
seriously.
You're doing now, you know what I mean? So,
for
like,
real.
Having your maiden podcast, and that and being on this topic, you know, and that's what it is, you know, it's people that are speaking up because there's something they truly believe in, and then, you know, we see you,
seriously.
You, girl, we see you,
yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And it's, thank you for having that voice.
No joke, I'm going to cry.
Yeah, no.
Sorry, my first podcast, I break down crying.
That would be good.
Could it be a recurring thing
though?
Yeah, I love
like,
that.
Oh,
would.
I love a cry.
Yeah. Me too, girl. Me too. I definitely cry.
Yeah, you know, like, do what you can do. And just, like, respect people for doing what they could do.
Yeah.
Right. They did. And that's
right.
And I think we're always so quick to judge and to call people out for not doing enough. But it's like, did you respect them for doing what they could do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, people have different levels. I mean,
I'm not,
you know.
We all go at different paces.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to, everyone is in their own space.
Yeah.
I always say to myself, this is one thing that I think I've learned from being an expat, is one sentence I always keep in my mind, is that people are doing the best they can with the information they have.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, don't blame each other for what's going on. We're all going at our own pace. Just take your time.
Right.
But we're all, like, we're all going in the right direction.
Yeah.
So
get
let's
there.
Just get there.
Keep on going.
I agree.
Yeah.
And pointing that out is, like, with the right information, which means that, like, if someone does come to you, like, how you approach us, like, I really appreciate that. Same thing Malik is pointing out, like, thank you. But it also means, like, okay, so now we're in a space where we should actually come full and come and, like, be ready to provide and share and, like, also receive and, you know, and I appreciate that, too. So it's, like,
oh, this is just the beginning. We're gonna do stuff. Yeah, we're gonna do stuff. That's why when you said I'm going home, I was like, nah, don't go. I'm not done.
This is definitely just the beginning. Yeah. For real. That's the cool part about it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's the connections. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and this is why I love music festivals and why I value diversity, because it's just like, it's meeting all the people, you know, at a music festival, outside a music festival. We all do different things. We all come from different places. We got to celebrate that, you know? And it's being able to have conversations with people.
Yeah. that's how these things, like, that's what we're here for, talk about this kind of thing. It's brought us together. That's how we kind of, like, officially, like, we met, but, like, we bonded.
Over music festivals. And,
you know, we had our bonding music festivals. Mm-hmm. Like, that music, oh, my God, the universal bringer together.
Seriously, it really is.
Shit, man.
That's why the moment with, like, this is the only thing about quarantine that's, like, making me feel really anxious is, like, not being around people. It's just, like, I need that community, and I need to be, like, that's why for me, music festivals, people always say to me, aren't you tired? Like, going to music festivals every weekend? I'm like, are you kidding?
I'm tired of being home.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, Monday to Friday is boring. Oh, like, I need to get out.
I love that.
I think we've, like, probably maxed out our time.
Probably. I love this.
I can literally talk to you guys all night.
This is really great. Oh, gosh.
Well, it's been absolutely amazing talking to you guys.
It has.
And it will not be the last time.
Yay!
Because I've enjoyed it so much, it's going to happen again.
Yes.
But for anyone that's, like, tuning in, like, share, follow, do your thing, give it some love, just, like, spread it around to all the people you know.
Yes.
And let's get the message out there. Let's have the conversations.
Oh, so beautiful. This is just beautiful. I wish you the best with this. And
thank
keep
you.
Doing your thing. Keep shining.
Kill the game.
Don't stop. Ain't no stopping.
We'll be back to check up on you in a few weeks.
So what's up with the nitty
gritty? No pressure.
You just have it going.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it.
Well, thank you so much. And yes.